You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
The Jews were being summoned to the battle with a giant by the name of Goliath. He ridiculed those Jews. They were running afraid and scared. Tonight I want you to see this battle, and it reminds us of how we face a battle every day. Lester Roloff, the great evangelist, and I had the privilege to attend his funeral. He was 68. He was killed. I was driving on De La Cruz right before I hit those tennis courts next door. I had the radio on, KCBS, and I heard evangelist Lester Roloff has just been killed. His plane went down in the fields in Texas. The last song he sang on the broadcast before he flew out this morning, "My God and I Go in the Field Together." His ministry was located in Corpus Christi. He had many other places for wayward boys, wayward girls, adult men that were drunks and ladies and addicts and you name it. And many courts would sentence him to the Lester Roloff home. He believed that they should have 1 to 2 hours of Bible, personal Bible a day. He had every night of his life, he had preaching. And I can remember listening on the AM station about 8 o'clock at night. He would come on the station here and you'd hear Lester Roloff preaching. And I said, I got up at 4 this morning. I always get up at 4. And I've given away almost all my library now. I just use my Bible. I preach about 2, 3, 4 times a day, every day of my life. And he said, God gave me this in my Bible time this morning, and I want to preach to you. And he'd preach. Those girls had a choir. They'd sing. It was so exciting. You'd hear them right on the AM radio. Very exciting times. And I can remember hearing him preach many times. I went to his funeral, and between the convention center, 8,000 to 10,000 people were there. Preachers were there. It was like a revival meeting, a shouting and a singing time. I've seen in time gone by the airplane that he perished in. But he'd say this, kids, you girls, you boys. And he'd preach at the different homes. They weren't combined. He said, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation field. It's a fight and we must win. I always remember Brother Whitlow, him saying, you probably heard him say it too, it's a battlefield. You know, life is a battlefield. Now you can look at it and say, okay, what battle's coming today? What trouble's coming today? And you can be Mr. Negative. You met at prayer that we're in these sections last night. We had a great crowd here. And as we had prayer last night, we sang together. Brother Martinez led us. Brother Galvan on the piano, the trumpets were playing, the guitars were playing, string bass was playing. And we sang. And then I said, fellas, it's so depressing. It's hot in here. Let's talk about the depressing things of life. Give me some depressing news. Give me something that's negative. And they all looked at me. That refreshed my heart. I'm glad I don't pastor a bunch of wimps.
Amen.
When I tell you what, it's so hot. You want to see hot? Go to Phoenix. That's hot. 124 there today. That's hot. And in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. That's their verse over there. And our dear son lives there. He's preaching in Hawaii today. But he sent his wife home to be with the kids. God bless him, smart boy. There's battles. We all have battles. I can look back over almost these 50 years of the church, and we've had so many victories. We've had so many groundbreakings. I don't know if next Sunday I'll bring you the shovel, but maybe the next year it's in my office, and it's gold plated, it's silver plated, and it has a ribbon that's been engraved there of all the different building projects. And we ran out of room, so we had to start another shovel. We've dedicated so many buildings. 1983, this coming Sunday, we dedicated the 32,000 square foot building. 1993, we dedicated another 20,000 square foot building over there. We dedicated this building. We were going to do it on anniversary, but wound up on August the 20th, 17 years ago. And we've had so many buildings. We've had the remodel of the academic building. We had the women's dorm, the men's dorm, the gymnasium, the dining hall, the clock tower, all been dedicated generally around the anniversary. But I could tell you, almost 50 years, there's been a lot of battles. And I must tell you, at times I get tired of the battle. I get tired of the hurt. I get tired of the disappointment. I get tired of the reversal. But you can have the same testimony. And tonight, we all have battles. As I speak to you tonight, your battle may be with your mate. You may be going through the most difficult time. It may be with your children. I don't know anybody that's raised children that did not have somewhere in their junior high or high school a trial. It may be your young adult children. It may be your children's mates or your children's children, your grandchildren. Every time we have a seminar like this together, there are some of you grandparents that would love to see your grandkids, but your son or your daughter or your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law will not let you see the grandkids. And in some cases, it's been weeks, months, years, decades. I would call that a battle. Maybe your job is a battle. Maybe your health. I think, again, tomorrow our dear Dr. Nikolai goes in the hospital again for surgery. And I think of all these, the list is so enormous that we pray for in a prayer meeting every morning when we gather together. The list is so long of all the people in hospitals and nursing home facilities and rehab and seeing doctors and going through chemo and all the difficult things. That is what you'd call a trial. That is what you call a battle. It might be a housing battle tonight. It may be your personal failures. Now, what do you do when you have a battle? You quit. Never quit. Amen. Never quit. I receive at 8.5 by 11 several columns of birthdays. Sister Rosa gives it to me, and I have all the birthdays every month. And I go through and I update it. And I can put it through there, moved. And I do that, and you know what I'm told. We update it every month, moved, transferred. But here's the one I did it yesterday again. Quit. Quit, quit, quit. You never quit on God when you're in the battle.
Amen.
Never quit on church. Never quit on God when you're having marital problems. If there's a time you need church, it's when you're having a health problem, a mental problem, a physical problem, an emotional problem, a financial problem, a marriage problem, a child's problem. It's that time you need church. Yeah. See, I feel so terrible. We'll get to church. Everybody has battles. If we compare stories tonight, maybe perhaps you're not in the midst of a battle, but you will be. Brother Doug Fisher, my dear friends for so many years, and he is, quote, retired from the ministry from San Diego, and you know the reason his health broke. Just a powerful preacher. The last time he preached here, we brought him after he got out of the hospital for months and all this, and when he could start talking again, you saw him. I'm not trying to be ridicule or make fun at all, but he'd shake. He saw it. His mind is still there, but his body is, it's just so sad. One of the great large ministries in the nation. But he never quit. Could not pastor that church anymore, but he did not quit. His health was gone, but he did not quit. His marriage is still together. He still loves his family. Still loves his grandkids. Still loves God. He now attends the church that for 35 years he pastored. He doesn't teach Sunday school. He attends church. That's a hard thing to face. He was known for the great preacher. He'd get on a plane. I don't travel at all. Like even when I used to travel a lot, he would get on a plane Monday morning, go preach Monday and Tuesday, come back sometimes on Wednesday, and then go to the next city Thursdays and Fridays, and he just all the time was gone. He'd go to this country. Next year, we're going to go to the Philippines and hold a seminar and preachers meeting over there in the Philippines. And the pastor, Brother Rick Martin, said to me, I was reading a letter this week, Brother Caleb Galvan and myself, Brother Martinez are going. And he said, you can leave out Sunday night after church and we'll begin when you get here. And he says, you'll be back at your church next Sunday. I like that idea. I don't want to miss a Sunday around here. Amen. I think that's going to be a fast trip. Can you take it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm in. I'm talking about the fact you're going to have battles. You don't run. You don't quit. You don't get a new mate. I get a new job and it'd be all better. You don't get a new area. Don't get a new pastor. Don't get a new church. Don't get a new lifestyle. They just get a better lifestyle away from all this stuff. Look at the scripture, chapter 17, verse 3. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side. And Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. There was a great valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span over 9 feet tall. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. And his weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his leg and a target of brass upon his shoulder. The staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set the battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me, kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall he be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. I want you to see in this text, and we'll read more in a few moments, that all battles are owned by God. All battles are owned by God. God owns them. Look at verse 47. My Bible says, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. Read this together. Ready? Begin. For the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Your marriage is not your problem. It's God's battle. Your job is not your battle. It's God's battle. Your finances is not your battle. It's God's battle. Your health is not your battle. It's God's battle. Now, we're going to have to do our part. We'll see that. But it's God. Always remember, when God sends you into battle, it's his. I got it. It's my battle. For the battle is the Lord's. My Bible says, thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory. That shows me it's God's battle. None of these things move me. Why? It's God's battle. I think of the scripture where God's word says, I can do all things, here it is, through Christ. Amen. You can teach that class. You can drive that bus. You can be a soul winner. You can read the Bible through. You could. Your dad, Brother Michael, had all those prayer certificates, all those Bible certificates that was in his file from this church. Every year he would read the Bible through. That thrilled my heart. The battle's the Lord's. Secondly, I want you to see this. Never run from a battle. David did not run. All the men of Israel, Goliath says, send me a man. There was no man to be had, but there was a boy. You stop and think of the comparison of these two. One was tall, one was short. One was a man, one was a boy. One had a sword, one had a sling and stones. And he had five because Goliath had five sons. So he might as well polish off the whole crowd at the same time. No, he didn't do it. One was a celebrity. One was a shepherd out with the fields. One was had national backing. One did not even have the backing of his family. Eliab, his brother, said, I know your terrible heart, brother. You just came here to be with the big boys. It's amazing. His own family turned on. You can run if you want to. Roloff said, I came here to stay. I remember they'd keep locking Russ Roloff up because Dan White, was the governor. And he said, you are going to come under the domination and the authority of the state of Texas, and everything you do is going to be under our preview. He said, I'm not going to do this. I'm under the hand of God. If we do anything that would harm these children, yes, you have a right to do something there, but we've not harmed anybody. We've taken from drugs and from drink and from running the streets, and they've been sentenced here, and God did a work in their heart, and we've got all on their property. When he walked out that day, he was on the radio. They had an airstrip that he just would fly out that little plane on his own property. And he was on the radio that day, and I said already, he's saying, my God and I go in the field together. That's where he's going to die in a few moments. He walked out to that tarmac, and the man had the plane ready, and he said, have a good day, Brother Roloff. He said, it's going to be the greatest day of my life. And soon he was in the presence of God. As they hit such turbulence, and that plane went straight on down into that field. I want you to know today, friend, you never run from a battle. I want you to know that God always owns every battle. I want you to see, thirdly, you're going to have to do your part for the battle. Your part is not worry. Your part is not criticism. Your part is not attacking. If you want to attack, you're not in the right battle. My part is prayer. My part is the Bible. My part is trusting God. My part is being faithful. Think of Gideon's part. Gideon's part. 300 soldiers. And what was his part? Bring a pitcher, bring a lamp, and bring a trumpet. Your part is bring some prayer. Bring some trust. Bring some faithfulness. Gideon, your job, bring a lamp. Bring that lamp, bring that trumpet. And please, don't forget to bring that pitcher. Can you imagine as they're scattered? And all through the night, they scattered on those hills. And all of a sudden, those lamps start lighting up all around. And the trumpets began to blow, and they began to break the pitchers. And those people began to run, and they never had to fire a shot. They did what God wanted them to do. They brought a lamp. God says, our part is to pray. Men ought always to pray. And not to faint, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Evening and morning at noon will I pray and cry aloud, Psalm 55. Great peace have they that love thy law. That's my part, and nothing shall offend them. I think tonight of not only Gideon, but I think of David. David here, he brought a sling. Remember, Saul said, I want you to try on all this armament of mine. He said, I can't put that on. I haven't proved them. But I've proven this sling. And I can bring that giant down with the help of God with this sling. Always bring your sling. I think of Jericho and the walls of Jericho. All Joshua had to do was bring those Jews and walk around. God says, that's the part of the battle. I've got the battle. The walls will come down and you'll win a victory. I've got that. You do your part. It's the last time you missed a meal praying for somebody. And by the way, praying for somebody that wasn't yourself. Praying for someone else's need. we're not careful, and prayer time, God convicted me of this sometime this last week, saying it's just give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this, provide this, do this, do this. And it's like I was ordering God around, and I never meant it to be that way. I was pouring my complaint, my heart out to God. But God, you know, God doesn't want me. It's all about this. How about praying for others?
Amen.
Think of Nehemiah, a cupbearer in captivity. Hananiah, his brethren, came and said, we've got a problem back home, Jerusalem. The gates are broken down, and the walls are broken down, and the gates are burned with fire. And Nehemiah heard these words, and he sat down. He sat down, his knees weakened, he sat down. He wept, he fasted, he prayed, he mourned. You're going to have some battles that will bring you down to your knees. And I'm not just talking about prayer. We had a battle here one time decades ago. And when I got information about it, literally my knees at that conversation, my knees just buckled. I remember exactly where I was standing. And my knees collapsed. I never heard anything like that. Just collapsed. I wore it out. I was worn out. I want you to know, child of God, that when he heard what he's supposed to do, he weakened. But he said, neither told I any man what God had put in my heart. He got permission to go, and he went 3 days, and he walked over those rubble, and he viewed the walls by himself that night, and he analyzed the situation, and he made a plan of attack. And he said to the people, chapter 2, verse 18, Nehemiah, ye see the distress that we're in, how that Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And he goes, now rise up and build, that we be no more reproach to the people. He said, that's our job. Our job is to get in this thing.
Yes. Amen.
I think of Nehemiah's job. He got one battle after another. And so he said, boys, here's what we're going to do. With one hand, we're going to have a trowel, and one hand, we're going to have a spear. We're going to have prayer and the word of God. We're going to have whatever it might be. That's my part of the battle. You're part of the battle as Gideon, as Joshua, as Nehemiah, as these great people, as David, as Mordecai, his part of the battle, though the gallows I mentioned this morning were made for him, was to go to the middle of the city in sackcloth and pray. That's how he was in the battle. Now I get a complaint. I need a therapist. No, he went to the city and prayed and cried, the Bible said. He cried aloud. Ephesians 6, my part of the battle is put on the armor of God. Get dressed for success, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God is his battle, but you ought to do your part. Number four, battles are continuous. You young couples, I can tell you, they never stop. They never will stop. Sometimes it brings tears to your eyes, and sometimes those tears are for days and weeks and months. Sometimes it's a sorrow that's so hard to bear that you just don't know how you're going to go on, and you toss and turn for a night, for a week, for a month, for two, for three. Everything's different. That person you love so much has gone home to be with the Lord. I've been out in the last several weeks to the cemeteries quite a bit, just seeking God. I stand at the markers of your dear loved ones, and it always pains my heart to think of the pain that you went through at that moment and the constant pain you'll have for a lifetime. But you didn't quit. Battles are continuous. Think of David. Think of David. One battle after another. He had the battle where three times Saul tried to kill him with a javelin. He had the battle that he hid in the wilderness from Saul and his men. He had the battle that he hid in a cave, and Saul came in that same cave at night. He had the battle with Absalom. His own son had a coup. He had the battle where his son was in this coup and his hair got caught in the thicket of an oak tree, and he died, and he was died there, and he had to bury his own son. He had the battle with Amnon's son and defiling his half-sister Tamar, and then his other son, see to it that he was killed. Family problems. You think of what he went through where Saul said, I'm going to give him a wife. I'm going to give him my daughter, Micah. She'll be a curse to him. Another battle. I think of the battle that he had with Shimei, saw him, and cursed him. Cursed him. I think of the battle that he had with himself, his flesh, with Bathsheba. I think of the battle that he had when his best friend, Jonathan, was killed because of the stupidity of his father on Mount Gilboa, and his brothers, the three of those boys and his dad, all were killed on Mount Gilboa. And he got word that my best friend has died with his dad, the king. That was a hard battle. I think about how he was betrayed by his right-hand man, Hushai, and his right-hand man for the entire life of his ministry, Ahithophel, after working together for decades and decades and decades, they betrayed him. And to the point where Ahithophel said, I'm going to kill David for you. And when his counsel was not followed, he went out and set his house in order and hung himself and died. No, it's a battlefield, not a recreation field. You young couples, there will be battles. There'll be sorrows. There'll be disappointments. There'll be hospital visits. There'll be stitches. There'll be broken bones. There'll be surgeries. There'll be cancer. All of our homes. There'll be rebellion. There'll be people we've invested our entire life in. They become drug addicts and drunks, and they become anti-God, and they swear and they blaspheme, and they'll blast you on the internet how bad you are. Number five, and I'll try to be finished. Battles are for our making. I think of that battle with Mount Gilboa again. That battle was to prepare David. Brother Martinez, you sang, was it the judgment? There are battlefields of mine own making. It is finished. I've made some of my own battles that I face. Because of my stubbornness and my self-will, God says, I still own it. But Jack, you made that battle. You spent money you did not have. You did this that you should not have done. Whatever it might be in your life or my life. Let me close. The battles that always cause us to take a stand for what's right. Look what the Bible says. David was sent in verse 15 by his father to go feed the sheep in Bethlehem. He was there and he went to go see his brothers in verse 17. He said, now take some parched corn and I want you to go see what these 10 loaves and go see how your brothers are doing. I like David 20, verse 20. He rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. He made sure the keeper was okay with the sheep. And Israel, verse 21, and the Philistines had a battle in array armed against the enemy. And David ran to the army, verse 22. And ye men of Israel, verse 25, have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? And he's coming up to kill us. Oh, my goodness. And verse number, 26, the latter part. For who, David said, who's this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? A boy. Well, his brother didn't like it. Eliab, verse 28. Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why comest thou down hither? With whom has you left those sheep, those few sheep in the wilderness? I know the pride and the naughtiness of your heart. David said, well, is there not a cause? David said in verse 32, because Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. I'll do it. Fight your battle. That's God's battle. But Take your pitcher, take your lamp, and take your trumpet, and take what your knees, and take your prayer life, and take your Bible, and I'm going to fight. Would you fight for your kids? I promise, but don't read into this. We're so thankful for our grown children and all their children, and God's blessed us. But I'll tell you what, I'm fighting for them. Girl, I see four grandkids here. We got 10 that are gone. They text me. They write me. They send me notes. I write them. I text them. I'm not part of their thread thing, the family thread. I'm not going to start that nonsense because it takes all day. So they know Papa's not going to get in that thread thing. And I tell you, I stay in communication with them. But I'm so burdened about every one of them. Are they wicked? No. I feel like all except maybe the little baby or two that are 4 and 6 or 7, all of our kids get up in the morning and read their Bibles. All 14 grandkids. That's a pretty good deal. Ashlyn next week's going to be 22. She's going to finish college this year. And I'm going to tell you something. That girl has to make the right decision. When God sends the right man into her life, she has to make the right decision, Bobby. Don't tell me you don't pray for that granddaughter. Don't tell me you don't as well. Don't tell that Papa doesn't. Why? We have a heavy load. You have 5 grandkids. They're all different. We share those grandkids. But Sam and Julie, you have 4. These 4 here, and we have 4. You have many more than that. I'm responsible. I think of how important it is to pray for all these grandkids. And they all have, and I'll ask them when I talk to them what I need to pray about. Tell me what's going on. I saw we were all together for a day and a half, Southern California for TJ, our third grandson down there to graduate high school. So 3 are graduate, 2 still at home. And I made sure I tried to talk to several of those kids as I could. What do you want Papa to pray about? What's the need? And I didn't say it in front of everybody, just sort of privately. And some feel they can really share those things with me. I feel like our kids and our grandkids, though they're godly, they're sweet, they're serving God, I feel like they're in intensive care all the time. One wrong decision, and it affects the great future that God has planned. David was here in verse 32. David said, "Let no man's heart fail. I'll go fight the Philistine." Why don't you go fight for your marriage, your kids, your grandkids, your job? Fight to pay your bills. He was a youth, said it twice in verse 33. David said, I'll do okay. I fought a lion and I fought a bear. I slew, verse 36, the lion and the bear. I can see this one that's defiling Israel. I'm not afraid of him. And Saul harmed David, verse 38, with a helmet brass his head. David said, I can't take these. I've not proved them. I cannot go with these, verse number 39. I've not proved them. He said it twice. David put him off, and he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones in a brook and a shepherd's bag. When the Philistine looked about, verse 42, David, he disdained him. He was but a youth. Youth, you're important. The Philistine said to David, 44, come unto me, and I will give you flesh of your flesh to the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord. Amen. This day, big boy, the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thy carcass to the host of the Philistines. This day, the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sore spirit, but the battle is the Lord's. It's a battle. I wonder, are you in a battle? Are coming out of a battle? Are getting ready to go into a battle? I remember when Doug Fisher said that. That's been such a great statement in my life. I said it years ago, the old building. Life's about battles. Don't run. Don't quit. Don't dump off that husband or that wife. Don't leave. Say, I got to find a different area, different church, different pastor, different philosophy, different direction. I've got to quit church. It's God's battle. He'll help you. Let's stand together, please. Our Father, it's been such a wonderful day in your house. I thank you for these great people. I pray your blessing on their lives. Every young person in this room has battles. Some young girls here are battling the fact they don't think they're pretty enough. And that is a battle for them. But it's a foolish battle. Because God, you created us just like we are. There's no mistakes with you. Some folks, some men will never surrender to serve God, young men in our youth group, because they're too afraid. But God, you have something for them. I don't know what it is, but you have something for them. Some young men and young ladies will quit too early on you because there's a wife around the corner, there's a husband around the corner, there's someone for their life. And you're going to reveal that person. They're going to have to stay in the battles of life, living on the winning side.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.